rest of the story. Joe was sound asleep when a sudden crash in the dead of the night jolted the little boy from his dreams. The noise had come from outside the house, very near the front door. Joe's mother had heard it too, and both clung to each other, trembling as the thrashing, thudding sounds continued. Moments later, the intruder was in the house. The sour stench of alcohol hung about him like a fog. He reached for little Joe's mother and struck her with his fist. The boy screamed no. The man wheeled around and grabbed the youngster, began beating him savagely, as though all of the rage in the world had been focused on one small child. Joey's mother tried to stop the man, only to be slugged aside. And he kept on beating the boy unmercifully until at last, submerged in his own booze, the man himself passed out, just as it had happened so many times before. For the intruder was no stranger, was in fact Joe's own father. His mother was a modest, deeply religious person who worked as a cook, a seamstress, and a washerwoman. Hers was virtually the family's only income. Whatever Joe's dad earned at the factory, he drank, and whatever he drank turned to violence. And so was Joe's childhood an endless nightmare. He was not really strong enough to take the repeated brutal beatings. A youthful case of smallpox had left him scarred and weak. He had also been seriously injured in a carriage accident. Nearly died from resultant blood poisoning, and still his father continued to batter him and his helpless mother until one night. And that brings us to the rest of the story. Little Joe's father came home drunk, as usual. He was reeling in a half-blind stupor, as usual, when he seized Catherine, Joe's mother, and began hitting her hard in the face. In vain, the boy thumped his father with his own tiny fists, hoping somehow to make him stop, to stand between his mother and the awful pain. But failing in this, in fear and frustration, Joe ran to the cutting board and took from the kitchen cutting board a huge knife, and he threw it at his mother's assailant. With surprising force, that knife embedded itself in a wooden cupboard, but only inches from his father's head. Well, that unexpected attack threw the drunken man into a screaming fury, and the boy fled with cries of, "I will kill you! I will kill you!" ringing in his ears. Little Joe sought refuge at a neighbor's house. And gratefully, it seems, the boy's father didn't even recall the incident once he had sobered up. But most significant about that particular occasion, that one terrifying occasion, it marked the point at which Joe began fighting back. Even after his father drank himself to death, Joe kept fighting, mercilessly and utterly without conscience, even as his father had before him. Oh, it's an old story, of course. How the abused become the abuser. But regarding this one case history, don't let it be forgot how hatred begat hatred, and how a battering father begat a boy who lost faith in everything except brutality and revolution. Just a scared, scarred child whom you remember as Joseph Stalin. Only now you know the rest of the story.